started last week with the man under authority. And I'm going to get back into that. I want to talk to you about a couple things. This will be the man under authority part two. Brought to you by Kellogg's. I just felt compelled to say that. You know, I got up this morning. Of course, you see me all dressed up like a preacher, don't I? You know what my thought was? I thought, man, when I used to wear a suit and tie, if I had something happen to me on the side of the road, people would, you know, they see me out there and I could just walk around. You know, they'd think I was like a helpless woman, somebody to pull over and help me. But when you dress like this, everybody say, ah, he's got it. So I'm thinking, I'm going back. But there's another reason. Oh, me. You just got to come as you are, you know. You just got to come as you are. I remember a guy told me one time, we'll talk about this, kind of goes hand in hand. He said, brother, I believe Sunday morning's a man ought to put on the best he's got. Well, I'm going to tell you the best you got is Jesus Christ. If you wait till Sunday to put him on, you're up the creek. Put on the new man. Put on Christ. That's the garments that we're to be clothed in. It ain't got nothing to do with what kind of shirts you got or what kind of breeches you got. It's got to do with Christ. And, you know, that's... We just got to remember those things. I'm gonna hit on a couple of things this morning, but... We talked last week about the carnal mind, and I just want to clarify something. Because you can lump things into a whole lot. You guys have heard these terms, carnal mind, the flesh, the old man. You know, what do they mean? And you say, well, I believe they're all the same thing. Well, yes and no. Yes and no. And what do I mean by that? You have to understand these terms for what they are. I'm just going to ask this question. I didn't rehearse this or whatever. I'm going to ask Tim and Denise, how long have you guys been married, if you don't mind me asking?
38 and a half years.
38 and a half years. And the reason I ask that is because we refer to them as being married. Okay? But I just want you to follow with me on this trail. I'm assuming before you guys got married, you dated. Tim said no. And then there was a time when I'm sure Tim asked her to marry him. And they see, at one time, they were called boyfriend and girlfriend. You see what I mean? So they had that relationship. Oh, there's Tim and his girlfriend. Right? There's Denise and her boyfriend. But then there come a time when you stop calling them that. Well, here comes Tim and his fiancée. Right? So now it's the same two people, yet they've moved into another. You see where I'm going with all this? And then there comes the wedding day when Denise is known as a bride. Right? So they're known in that relationship. Then she's known, and Tim is known as a husband, Denise is known as a wife. Same two people who over here, and it wouldn't be fair for you to call them boyfriend and girlfriend anymore because they've done moved over into this, but yet it's the same two people. And then that title moves on to there, becomes mom and dad. Right? Same two people that was boyfriend and girlfriend over here, now it's mom and dad. Been through all these relationships. And then it becomes mama and papa or whatever. Same two people over here that was boyfriend and girlfriend. Now it's mama and papa. So you see, the whole thing is a relationship. So when you learn Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah, or Jesus as the city, or Jesus as the shepherd, or whatever, you're learning a different relationship. And once you come over here, it wouldn't be right for you to go back over here and call him by this name because you've... You see where I'm going? So, I you know, JW and I were talking a little bit yesterday, and, you know, Patty speaks about this, and it's really true, and I try to get a word in edgewise, but this is about relationship. But look, guys, how do you teach a relationship? So here is Tim and Denise. How do you teach them how to be boyfriend and girlfriend? You give them a book and say, here, guys, okay, Tim, here's what you do, and Denise, here's what you do. No. You just jump in it, and you learn on the fly. You see, that's what a relationship is. So we can read all these scriptures, and yet you see, if we just get the letter of the word, I can say, oh, here's what you do. Here's on the first date, you do this, and you go to Bob Evans, and, you know, you take her out, and here's what you do. You open the door, and then, you know, 20 years from now, you don't open the door anymore. You throw your socks on the floor. You see what I mean? So you can't teach a relationship. All we do is invite a relationship, and you get in it. And he wanted you to say, learn of me. Isn't that what he said? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll take my yoke, but learn of me. That's what he said. Learn of me. Learn about this. Learn about this relationship as we go. And, you know, my thing would be to everybody that's out there, are you hungry for more? I believe everybody's hungry for more. Are you hungry for more? I used to hear these words, and I still do. Brother, I'm satisfied where I'm at. Well, if you're satisfied where you are, bless God, that's where you'll be. I mean, you really will. If you're satisfied, why would you move if you're satisfied? And, you know, I think about some of the things we have talked about just here with us. And our question is, well, what can we do? What can we do to have more? How can we access? How do we do? I mean, because we're just there. We're like, Lord, we're sitting on the well, and we're waiting. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And you know what? That's our religious mindset. Yeah. What do we do? And I think about them words sometimes. What can we do? What can we do to learn of Him? You know, that's what we're really asking. What can we do? And what's He saying? Come unto me. Paul says it this way, set your affections on things above. Because really, and probably about 39 years ago when Tim first met Denise, he was like a little whip puppy and nobody had to tell him, and he was going around, my God, she's the best looking woman I've ever seen. I got to marry this woman. He's over there going, mm. <You're> no. See, nobody had to teach him about the relationship, but it's almost like when Christ comes into your heart, He sets your heart on fire. What do they say? Our hearts did burn. Then, you know, because I want to tell people, you know, I'll say, my gosh, get in the scriptures and read the scriptures. And get in. And you know, people are like, well, I hate reading the Bible. I'm going to tell you what, once that, I mean, that's almost like telling an 18-year-old boy who's going out with this beautiful-looking woman, don't do it. He's like, man, I can't wait to get off work today. I have a date tonight. And that's all that's on his mind. I have a date tonight. And I'm telling you, when the Lord comes into your heart, it will burn up everything else. And, you know, I can remember, I just fell in love with scriptures because I knew I was seeing the Lord in the scriptures. And I don't know about you, but I just still yet to this day, I carry this with me everywhere I go. Not so I can say, oh, wait a minute, Ben, you messed up. Come here, wait a minute, let me show you right here. It says, thou shalt not wear Notre Dame hoodie. Church. This is right here in Romans chapter 6. Right? Yeah, and I show him and I say, oh, wait a minute, Uncle, wait a minute, I got you too right here. Thou shalt not wear blue. You see? And people will do that. I've heard people say, wait a minute, come here, come here. You know, let me just show you right here. Leviticus. But that's not why I carry this thing. You know, I just get things on my mind, but I just love because I see the Lord. And sometimes I can be reading this and I'm just thinking, my God, I can't take anymore. I mean, this is so overwhelming. It's so beautiful. But I don't know about you, there's reproach even in carrying this. Why you got that Bible for? Oh, I guess you're Mr. Religion. You think, I mean, you carry that Bible. You read that Bible too much. I don't know if you've ever been told that. And I want to tell you something. Of course, you go through these phases, but I have seen you read your Bible too much. Listen, that's almost in the same mindset as seeing a couple who's been married for 38, 50 years still holding hands, still acting like they were when they were 17. And we say, y'all shouldn't act that way anymore. I'm going to tell you what, and when the fire goes out, that's when you go bowling. I'm just talking truth to you guys, all right? I'm talking with the Lord. This fire doesn't go out. It consumes everything. You see? So when I hear people talking, then I'm thinking they don't know the same Jesus that I know. Because I'm going to tell you what, guys. I talk to Him exactly like I'm talking to you right now. No different. Sometimes I get frustrated. And I say, Lord, I have no idea what you're doing. You know, I've come to the point where I say this now, Lord, I'm with you. I have no idea what we're doing. I'm with you. You know, I used to say, I don't know if I'm with you or not. But I've learned now, I've came on. So I say, I don't know. And, you know, my thinking is, you know, from what I've seen, and really, I don't take this personal. If everybody says I ain't going back there, it'll still be all right. It'll still be all right because I just think, man, He is in me, and no matter what, you cannot separate me from the love of Christ. I don't care what you do, you cannot separate. And you know, that's teaching every one of us. I think, wow, what an assurance. I am with you always. I want you to think about that. This is the King of Kings, the King of Glory, the Word made flesh, saying, Ben, I will be with you always. Now, brother, I may say, I got you back, as long as it's convenient for me, right? But I can tell you right now, if you get on a plane and fly to Australia, Jim Moore don't have you back because I can't get there. You know what I mean? Y'all may be able to get on, get on the phone and you say, hey, Jim, you know, Pastor Jim, guess what? I'm surrounded by Aborigines and they're about to cut my head off and eat me. Well, Ben, sorry, dude. I can't, you know, you're on your own. But the Lord says, I am with you always. Until you get to the point to where, like Paul says, when they say, guess what? They're going to kill you when you go to Jerusalem. And he says, what is that to me? I mean, I want you to think about that. What is that to me? Peter, they're going to cut your head off in the morning. They just cut James's head off. They're going to cut your head off in the morning. That's all right, guys. Give me a pillow. I'm going to rest. I'm a little tired. I know the church is praying. You guys don't know what I know. You see what I'm talking about? I am with you always. I am with you as long as you don't wear a Notre Dame hoodie or a blue sweater. I'm glad that my righteousness, my goodness, my blessings isn't dependent upon me. Guys, there's a statement. I just got to throw this out there, guys. All right, let's see what time. Oh, man, I got loads of time. Guys, I've said this. I bet you $2 bill, everybody in here said the same thing. Now, I'm not going to preach this sermon, but I just want to discuss something with you a little bit. You want to do good. You want to do a good thing, but it's really not convenient. Or it might put you in a pickle. Might upset some things. So what is the phrase that we use to justify ourselves? But God knows, come on, my heart. Come on, everybody. Have y'all not said this before? You know, I didn't do what I needed to do, but God knows my heart. Therefore, it's all right. here is a guy I heard him preaching this morning, and I was kind of that thought had been on my mind, and he kind of, and I understood why people say that, because David was a man after God's own heart. So I guess what that means is you can run out and kill somebody, because David did that, right? He had a man killed, took his wife, committed adultery, done all these things. He was called a bloody man. Oh, but he was a man after God's own heart, so that makes it all right. So, you know, I can go out and go to work and be a hellion and cause trouble and steal from work and say, but God knows my heart. Let me tell you something. You are exactly right. Thank God he knows your heart. That's why he provided a cross. Because he said man is wicked continually. Nothing good comes out of him. I'm going to remove him off the face of the earth. Guess what, guys? That was you and me. He said, I will not contend with this flesh always. I'm providing a stopping point called the cross. You say, and I'm just going to throw it out there, guys. When you say, God knows my heart, you are trying to justify something that you shouldn't be trying to justify. Okay, I promise you are, or you wouldn't make that statement. But you see, we get into our own righteousness, and we want to justify ourselves. That's why the scripture says right here, Romans 10:10, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. But what do you mean? Seek the righteousness of their own. I just told you how we do that. God knows my heart. I'm going to show him, Cindy, how righteous I am. I didn't get to do the deed that I needed to do, but I just said, God, look, the opportunity didn't present itself, but I want you to look at this heart. Oh, Lord, is this not the best heart you've ever seen? Let's look right here at it. Is this not the most righteous heart? You thought Abraham was holy. Look at mine right here. I've got every good intention in the world. I always heard this, road to hell is paved with good intentions. You ever heard that? That's about the truth, ain't it? The glory look of my heart. You see, we want to establish our own righteousness, not submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God. I don't know, guys. I'll be honest with you. I'm guilty. I don't know about you. I'm guilty. I have said, the Lord knows my heart. I've talked to right to brothers and sisters on the phone. Yep, I just told them, but I know. But God knows your heart. Oh, yeah, you want to bind right now, but God knows your heart. Now you don't want to say, oh, yeah, you want to bind. God knows your heart. You're worthless. You are a worthless piece of junk. Submit yourself to the righteousness of God. Come to the cross. You're in the same boat as everybody else. You need to come to the cross, and when you do, you'll fall on your face as one of dead. You'll make the confession, I'm the chief of sinners. I am nothing. I am not I, but Christ. As long as you're saying, God knows my heart, you haven't came to the cross, because what he wants to say is, I know yours. I want to show you mine. Let me show you Christ. You see what I mean? Not submitting themselves, a man under authority. My God, you see, when the Lord starts showing you these things, you know what? I don't know if I'll get this. This ain't a verse in the Bible. This is a verse in a song. But this song used to go through my mind all the time. And I love this old song called Rock of Ages. Good old hymn. I like good old hymns. Simply, how's it go? Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply, to the cross I cling. I love that verse. Listen to that. This guy had a revelation, whoever wrote this song. Nothing in my hand I bring. Nothing. Now what did we say? But God knows my heart. Look, God. This guy had been through that stage. Right? And this guy had thrown that, God, you know my heart, junk out the window. And he said, nothing in my hand I bring. I got nothing to bring to this. I got nothing to bring to this. Simply to the cross I cling. Now, brothers and sisters, that's a rock of the ages. That's a rock of the age. You clave the rock and the water gushed out. I love that. So we're looking at this old man. I'm in here in Romans still yet. Romans 6:6. How does that know that number? See if y'all's paying attention. Romans 6:6. Oh my goodness. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Knowing this, I wonder, do you know that? You see, for those who would say, God knows my heart, do not know that your heart was crucified. Knowing this, do you really know this? I don't know, guys. To me, I'm like, you know, we were talking before when we were kind of practicing this a little bit for the song, and she said, how am I going to know when you end? And I said, I'm going to start yelling, and then I'm just going to stop. And that's the way the Lord deals with me sometimes. I'm just yelling and going down the road, and all of a sudden, he stops me. And it's like a great big banner. God knows my heart. And he just says, stop, look at this. Pay attention. Stop, look. So I'm just, you know, I'm on the sidelines, and I'm just looking, and there it is. And boom, he starts laying it out. God knows my heart. And I'm thinking, you know, I've said that 1,000 times. God knows my heart. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed. So what are we talking about, the body of sin? The old man? Might be what? Destroyed. Do you realize you are the old man? Now what did he just say right here? Did he just say, knowing this, that God is going to take you and wash you up and clean you and take the best parts of you, because God knows your heart. And God is going to work with you, and God is going to teach you how to be a better person. I mean, was that Paul's doctrine? Come on, guys. Paul's doctrine is hard. I told JW, I said, I got to talk to him a little bit. I said, does Paul, Apostle Paul ever make you mad? He just laughed. He said, oh yeah, we've had some battles before. Because sometimes I want to say, Lord, if it could be your will, let Paul sit right here, because I got to ask him, why would he write that? I don't like that. I don't like the way he worded that. Imputed righteousness. I don't, you know, arguing with him. But I realize where the downfall is, you know, right here. So he says, knowing this, do you know this? We jump up on scriptures real fast. Oh, knowing this. Oh, yeah. I know it. Hurry up. Hurry and get to the part where I'm the good guy. Hurry, and thou shalt call, and the nations shall flow unto me. To me, you know, not to Christ, but thou shalt flow unto me, because, man, I'm the greatest preacher ever. And God knows my heart. Knowing this, the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Why? That henceforth, from now on, we should not serve sin. So what's he talking about right here? Not serve sin. Well, you know, I mashed my finger today and I said a cuss word. So I said, is that what he's talking about? Oh my gosh, guys, that ain't not what he's talking about. He's talking about that first nature. And I thought about this. Here's what religion does. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but say you got a dog. I don't know, some people really love their dogs. Some people will send their dogs off to obedience school. Y'all guys know what I'm talking about? What do you think they do in obedience school? Do you think they take that dog and pet that dog? And oh, little doggy, here's your little baby. What do you think they do with that dog at obedience school? People don't want to know what they really do to that dog at obedience school. But when a certain sound hits, that dog's done peed in the floor. Why do you think that is? Because that's what religion does to its people. Religion says, guys, what I'm going to do is try to work with your nature. But if you mess up, hellbound, boy, hellbound, all the hellbound, you can't wear a hellbound, you're going to be burning, going to be on fire with gasoline underwear. Right? Paul says you can't do nothing with that nature, with that sin, you cannot do nothing. It has to be destroyed. Done away with. That body of sin might be what? Destroyed. so that you can go to him and say, nothing in my hand I bring. Nothing, zero, zilch, nada. Simply to the cross I cling. You see? God help us. And I'm telling you what, this self-righteousness has creeped in everywhere. It's in every one of us. Don't think you ain't got it. We all do. Because I've said that, guys, recently. God knows my heart, you know. Trying to justify some stupid. Here I am watching. I'll just be honest with you guys. I confess too much to you guys. I'll be watching a football game or something on TV. Not that I watch football. And the Lord put something in my heart or something. And you know, I'm thinking, Lord, you do realize. It's 3 minutes to go. It's tied up 27 all. You know, this has got a lot of implications on this game right here. I'll get to that in a minute. And I start justifying myself. But God knows my heart. Oh, Lord. And then, I'm justified. I'm going to bed and sleep. Oh, yeah. Well, God, you know, God's looking down and said, oh, look at my little son laying there. And he's so cute. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And you know, I go read in Hebrews, and he talks about those his sons he chastens. And I'm thinking, he's saying, oh, big boy right there. You know, it's almost like when you know, when you start out in a relationship over here and you're in the dating phase, and then, you know, you got some dates planned, and then it's like, Tim calls up Denise and he says, I'm not going to be able to take you out tonight. I got to work. And she, oh, that's okay. I'm just glad you got a job. And, you know, it's okay. Well, I'll meet up with you Saturday and it's all well and good. Then after about 2 years, well, I got to work. You never want to go out with me. You see, so you start over here and it's almost all fun and games and real that. But as you get over here, you get into more. But there's more responsibility over here in this. There's more responsibility in being a wife than there is in being a girlfriend. More responsibility in being a mother than there is in being a girlfriend. More responsibility in being a grandmother than there is in being a girlfriend. You see what I mean? So as these relationships progress. But he says here that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should henceforth serve sin no more. Your old man is crucified. Now let me go to Ephesians. I just wanted to give you a couple of things. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That you put off the former conversation. What he's talking about is your former manner of living. Your former way of life. That you put it off. Now I want you to think about it. Let's say that you're 42 years old. Paul is telling you to put off your former way of life. That's a big change. Now, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. He's not writing to somebody who's hanging out at Joe's Bar and Grill, drinking a pitcher every night. He's telling church people to change your way of living. Now, I thought you had to change your way of living when you come into the church. When you got into the church, you was all right. But he's saying, look, guys, I'm telling you to put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. See this deceit comes in. And what does deceit do? It will mess you up. It'll tear the foundation out from under you. What do you mean? Condemnation? No, it'll cause you to keep watching the ball game. Instead of doing what you need to be doing in the relationship and justify it by saying, God knows my heart. Deceitful. It's just like termites getting in your house. You don't even know it until it's too late. You go out there one day and you think, I see a termite here. Uh-oh, I better get scared. When you see one, not good. Not good. He's just the guy down there waving a flag saying, guess what we just did? $17,000 worth of damage. You need a new foundation and all your floors in the back half of the house that you never go into is all eat out. That, now what does he say right here? Look, just look real closely here. See, sometimes God will just want you to stay somewhere. He says that you put off. Does that sound like some responsibility that get on you? I mean, does that say, here's what God's going to do for you, and I want you to... I'm going to tell you what, in a relationship, guys, it's two ways. What is our way? Nothing in my hand I bring, but there is a clinging to the cross. You see? Paul says that you put off. I would be lying to each and every one of you guys if I told you there's nothing for you to do in this relationship. I would be lying to you. Paul tells us all the times that you need to set your affections on things above. That you need to put off concerning the old man. That you need to have your mind renewed. You see? Paul says that you need to pray without ceasing. I mean, these are things that we need to, I hate to use the word, but do. It's a mindset. You see, let me give you another one. Now let's go to Colossians. Colossians 3:9. Lie not to one another. Boy, I'm glad I just said what I did because I'm not lying to you. Lie not to one another. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. What was his deeds? He's talking to church people. What are his deeds? Drinking and smoking and cussing and chewing and flipping and flopping and jumping. No, his deeds are his own righteousness. Trying to please God. Trying to say, God knows my heart. Do you see what you see what I'm talking about, guys? I hope. Let me go back here into the Old Testament. Old man. Who is this old man? Let me go back to 1 Samuel. I just got to show you. 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2, verse 31. 1 Samuel 2, 31. Behold, the days come. I wonder when he's talking about when that day will come. That day has come, guys. This is Old Testament looking forward. We're in that day. The book of Hebrews says in the last days. The last days, what was he talking about? The last days of Israel, the last days of the law. He said, behold, the days will come that I will cut off thine arm. And the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. What is he saying? Nobody in the church is going to be old? No, he's saying that old man, that of the first, there will not be any of it left. I wasn't here on Wednesday, but Patty probably talking about circumcision. What does it do? It does away with the old man. He said, there will come a day when none of that will have. What did Jesus say? Lo, I come in the volume of the book. To take away the first, that he might establish the second. This first is the old man. I'm going to tell you what this old man is, basically. I mean, you look right here. This old man was natural Israel. What did natural Israel do? They rejected Christ. And what did Paul say? They, being ignorant of God's own righteousness, went about to find their own. You see what I mean? So let me just break it down to you just real easy. The old man is your and my religious mindset. Our wanting to please God. Our wanting to say, look, you know, just like we would go out and God wants you to, I don't know, we get in our mindset sometimes that God wants you to be a king and he wants a church full of kings. You guys do realize that in a kingdom there's only one king. There's only one. Now, I don't know, and you guys may know this, and I used to read a lot of his stuff. There was a prominent kingdom preacher named Miles Monroe got killed last week. I liked a lot of his study on the kingdom. It's amazing how a lot of the ministers that we knew in the past bit are boom, 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 just gone, 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 gone. You'll cut off the old man of the house. Thou shalt see an enemy in thy habitation, in the wealth which God shall give Israel. There shall not be an old man in thy house. How long? Forever. And the man of thine house whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. In one day. I wonder what day they died. They died the same day you and I died. The same day that Adam died. The same day that every cross. Paul said we thus judge. If one died, all died. In one day, both your sons. In one day, everything you produced. And I guarantee you, if you haven't produced an Ishmael yet, you haven't been in the church long enough. Because everyone that comes in brings forth Ishmael, and we beg God to bless what we have produced. But he says, in one day, everything you produced will die. Till you can say, nothing in my hand I bring. I can't bring my sons, because he says, cast out the bondwoman and her son. Now that's a hard thing when you've been in church for a long time and he says, Jeff, cast out everything you know. Cast out the bondwoman. Everything you brought forth, cast it out. You produce that. But oh God, if you would, but just bless Ishmael. I've worked hard on this, God. You know my heart. I've worked really, really hard on this. God, you know that I was up with the church doing all of this, and I vacuumed the floors, and I cleaned, and I studied, and I done all this, and now the building's falling down, and nobody's coming. But God, I don't understand. I can hear it now. I've been telling you for 37 years, cast out the bondwoman. She shall not be heir with my son. They wasn't submit themselves to the righteousness of God. It's a hard thing to submit yourself. I'm going to tell you what, guys. In our society, every one of us are brought up to do what? Take charge. That's the American way. Capitalism, take charge. Run your business. Do this, man. Have people working for you. So the more power we can gain, the better off we are. Is that the way Jesus did it? When Jesus came, Jesus spoke as one having authority. Not as one of the scribes. Who were the scribes, guys? Why didn't the scribes have any authority? The scribes were the dudes who wrote the Bible, translated the Bible, wrote it, note everything in the Bible. They were Mr. Quote. They knew it all, right? They were Mr. Quote. They could do all of this. But yet, Jesus didn't speak as them. And one day, they shall die. Both of them. I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart. Oh, Lord! I'm going to raise up one who knows my real heart. And it ain't you. A faithful priest. Who is that faithful priest? Who is our faithful high priest other than Jesus Christ? He said, I'm going to raise him up, one that's after my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house. Hello, house of God. And he shall walk before my anointed forever. Do you see what he's just saying? I'm going to raise up me one after my own heart. We want to jump into that Bible real fast and say, I'm just like David, a man after God's own heart. Let me tell you who he was referring to. These are they which testify of me, Jesus said. David, after man after God's own heart, the only one who was ever after God's own heart was he who came down from heaven, which is Jesus Christ. We want to jump in there real quick. I ain't even got right there, Oakley. That's all I got so far. But like I said, guys, the Lord right now is bringing up an administration in the earth, a people which walk under authority. It's called the Melchizedek order of priesthood. It's so important. So important. I want to show you a couple of things here. I had some more scriptures over there, but I'm going to go over here. Just real quick, I'm in Corinthians 11. But I would have you know, Paul says, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. You see what he just did here is he put things in order. A divine order. God does everything in order. He just set things in order. But I want to show you something right here. Kind of jumped off the page to me this morning. Verse 8, for the man is not of the woman. Let me clarify something. The man he's talking about here is Christ. He says this man is not of the woman. But the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman. Listen to what I'm telling you guys. This is so important. We think God put Adam in the garden and Adam messed up and he says, oh Lord, what am I going to do? Jesus, you go down there and get him squared away. So that would mean that Jesus was created for us. Paul says, you got your order wrong, my friend. You got your order wrong. The woman is of the man. And he says, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, which is what? Christ, because of the angels. He says, guys, listen. You were created for him. He wasn't created for you. Do you see? So this is a relationship between the Father and the Son. And he says, Son, I'm going to build you a sure house. And you are the building material. You see what I'm saying? So this woman ought to have power. She ought to have some authority. Why would she have authority? Because of her head. Is not all power given unto him in heaven and in earth? Is it manifested in heaven and in earth in his body today? Heck no. Church is powerless. Powerless. But what we want, listen to this, guys. All that is so with Christ is so with those who are in union with him. Let me say that again. All that is so with Christ is so with all those that are one with him. What is so with Christ? Now just think here for a second, guys. Really, let this roll around. This is a guy who spoke as one having authority. This is one who walked on the water. This is the one who says, peace be still. This is the one that says, Lazarus, come forth. All that is so with him, Paul said that we might know him in the power of his resurrection. We have to learn what it means to live as Christ. Not the Christ, but live as Christ. What do you mean for us to live as Christ? Are we not Christ's body, guys? I mean, are we not Christ's body? Do we not have to learn how to live? And the only way you're going to learn is get in this relationship. Now, I've got to cover some ground here real quick, but expressing the authority that you yourself is under, are under. Because we just went through that. The head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. So there's an order here. There's an authority. There's an authority it's going to take for you to live as Christ in the earth. Or you're just going to bumble around and say, I'm a Christian, and one of these days, having no authority. You can know this Bible front to back like the scribes did and have absolutely no authority. Jesus had authority. Jesus, I want to tell you what, you know, Jesus didn't write any of this. He said, the scriptures testify me, but he spoke with authority. And you know what? People can tell the difference. People can tell the difference when somebody has authority and when somebody don't. You don't have to, oh, you better respect that guy. Mm-mm. Doesn't work that way. They weren't astonished because Jesus healed people and all that. They were astonished that he spake as one having authority. Now, just think here for a second. We've got an ambassador of the United States. He goes to China or whatever country. In the natural sense of the term, he speaks as one. Okay? If he ever speaks as any other than one, he loses his authority. Why? Because he takes himself out from under the authority. If he speaks a word of his own, a will of his own, a desire of his own, when that ambassador expresses his will, desires, wants, good intentions, good reasons, he loses all authority. Because he ceases to speak as one and speaks as two. Let me give you a good example. Here's Tim. Tim is the head guy. He is President Tim. I am Ambassador Jim. He says, Jim, I want you to go to China and tell them this. So I say, yes, sir. I get on my plane and fly over to China. And I get over there, and if I'm going to speak as authority, I say exactly what he told me to say. I don't mince words. I don't give him my opinion. But as soon as I give him my opinion, here's what I have. Well, guys, let me tell you. I think what he's trying to say is, you know, if you guys don't straighten up, you know, we're going to blow you up. And, you know, I think that's what he's, you know, I'm not sure, but, you know. I just lost all authority. Because now I'm not speaking as him. I'm speaking as two. A house divided cannot stand. But when I go under authority, I don't have an opinion. I don't have a desire. I don't have a will. I go there and I can just even read it and say, you shall move. What else did he say? You shall move. Get back on my plane and going home. I just spoke as one having authority. Because I went there, I can only speak with one having authority when I am under authority. As soon as I remove myself from being under authority, no authority. That's the mystery of this whole thing. That's what the scribes did, didn't they? They interpreted the scriptures. They interpreted the scriptures. And the scriptures, what does the scripture say? The scripture says, be ye holy. So I interpret holiness as, thou shalt not wear another day to church. Thou shalt not wear a blue sweater. Because why? That's my interpretation of it. And I just gave you my interpretation of it. What happened? No authority. Here's Ben saying, heck with you. I'll wear it if I want to. If he says, blue's all I got. You see what I mean? We go about seeking our own righteousness, because like the man told me when I first came into church, he said, "Brother Jeff, I believe when you go to church, you ought to wear the best you got. I'll loan you a tie." Who said you had to wear a tie to church? Who said you didn't? This is all made up stuff. It's all made up, guys. So I'm thinking, what happened in the 11th century? Every one of them must be burning in hell, because they didn't even have a tie back then. So holiness was based on you wearing a tie. Everybody from 1841 back has got to burn in hell because they wanted a tie. What about wearing a dress? Well, I guess everybody in Scotland, even the men, they can't go to heaven because they're wearing skirts. You see what I'm talking about? But over here in the Pentecostal realm, if a woman ain't got a skirt on, she's going to hell. So I guess the men said, heck with it. I don't know what the women wear over there. That's the reason the church has no authority, because we have taken it upon ourselves to interpret as the scribes did. So in my mind, here's what holiness is, Patty. And everybody who wants to be holiness like me, you come over here. Everybody who wants to do it this way, you go over here. And what have we done? Divide, 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 divide. Got a little group over here, a little group over here. But I'm telling you right now, God is raising up a people under authority. You're a part of them. Why? Because we don't come in here with no grand big doctrine. We come in here with one. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. That's it, guys. That's my doctrine. You want to know what my doctrine is, what I believe? I know this. Until the Lord tells me, I don't have an idea. I don't have a clue. I've learned that, Kathy. I've learned that, Joe. Until the Lord shows me, I'm blind as a bat. You can ask me all day long, and I can give you my opinions. But what is that worth? Nothing. Oh, I got all kinds of opinions about all kinds of things. But I know this, when the Lord begins to show you, there is no doubt. Because he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon this rock. You want to know what being holy is? Being transformed into his image. Being holy. How are we transformed? By seeing him. Still goes back. Listen. Jesus declared, I and the Father are one. But so we go around and we say that all the time, don't we? We go around and we say, hey guys, we're one. We're one, we're one, we're one. Why did Jesus have authority and we don't have authority? Let me tell you a little secret. Jesus lived as one. We do not live as one. We proclaim it from the mountaintops. We're one, we're one, we're one. But we don't live as one. But we say, but God knows my heart. He knows my heart. I got a gut shot you right here, guys. Okay, just be with me. Here's what we say. Man, I know we're one, but I just can't help you right now. You know what I mean? Have we ever done that? Listen, guys, everything I tell you, I'm guilty of. I don't want you to think I'm throwing those stones at anybody but myself, because I have been there. Let me tell you something, guys. I just got to use my own language here. When homie's foot hurts, homie being me. That's the little code. When homie's foot hurts, homie don't care about nothing else but homie's foot hurting. Do you understand what I'm saying? When homie's got a toothache, homie don't care about nothing else but homies, do they? When you realize that we are homie, do you understand my language? We are homie. So when Oakley's hurting, I should be concerned about nothing else but Oakley hurting. When Ben is hurting, I should be concerned about nothing else, because we are one, but we don't understand we're one. But we go around and we say, Oakley, we're one, we're one. Ben, we're one, we're one. But I can't help you right now. No man hateth his own flesh, but loveth it and cherisheth it, until you realize, guys, we are one, because one lives in us. You are not your own. You're not Patty and Oakley and Ben and Josh and Denise and Tim. We are the body of Christ. one. And until we begin to see that and act as that and speak out from that, all we got is Cindy and Ben and Oakley, and we got nothing. We got a bunch of individuals trying to do their thing. No authority. I was thinking this morning, I said, how many people have we, probably not many, how many people have we prayed for in this church? But truthfully, and this God had me examine my own heart, Patty, last night, how many have we stood here around as one? Really, how many have we stood around as one, knowing that we are one? Why? Because one lives in us. The King of Kings lives in us. We try to get here and get around somebody, and we go right back to the rut of begging. We can stand up here and proclaim we're one. He's one. We're one in Him. Christ lives in us. The same authority that He exercises, we should exercise. And we get a sick person around us and we say, God, if it could be your will, please, oh Lord, please, please, please. No authority. None. No authority. How long am I going to be with you? How long am I going to suffer to be with you, guys? This boy's throwing himself at the dad, going fire, foaming at the mouth, and you can't do it. You're arguing. I think the Lord Almighty right now is saying to His body, the church, come on, guys, how long? How long before you get it? Come on, pastors, preachers, teachers, whoever you are. How long before you get it? We are one. We got to have a sign out there, united this, and whatever, the apostle of this. You know, Jesus told him, He said, listen, guys, if I would have came in my own name, you would have received me. Just like right now, guys, I could come up in there and hold, who's that? Well, that's Pastor Jim. You'll receive me as Pastor Jim. Jesus said, you'll receive me as Apostle Jesus. But when it comes saying, I'm one with the Father, you seek to kill me. You know what, guys? There's reproach that I'll bear with this. You don't believe me? You go out and try. Go out and speak to them as you being one with Christ. And they'll say, who do you think you are? But you know what? We'll go and justify ourselves and say, but God knows my heart. Because I really ain't going to tell them. Because I know if I tell them, they're going to be about to crucify me, just like they did Him. And that's what Jesus told them. Guys, if they've done this in a green tree, what do you think they'll do in a dry? They seek my life, they'll seek yours. Why? Because you tell them, I and the Father are one. We are one in Christ Jesus. Apostle Benjamin will be here tomorrow. Pastor Skip will be here tomorrow. Evangelist Denny will be here tomorrow. Everybody receives Him. Everybody comes out. But how about the body of Christ? Christ will be here tomorrow. You guys, Christ ain't going to be there. If His body's going to be there, unless He's dead, the head has to be attached to the body. I'm not the head, but we are the body. You see what I'm talking about, guys? These are strong things, but can you declare you and Him are one? Because you know what it'll do? What I'm talking about is religion, will seek to kill you. Am I right, Cindy? You know exactly what I'm talking about. They will seek to kill you because you claim to be one with Him. But do you want authority? I mean, you know, it's simple as that. You can come in your own name, or give your own opinions. I'll bring this thing in. Right now, what do we got? We got 50 different people expressing their own opinions. They have no authority. You get this church over here, you get this congregation over here, this one over here, this one over here, and they're all doing their own thing. And with so many people in the world today, all we got to do is go out and find somebody who wants to do it my way. Somebody, you know what? You can go to some churches, Jeff wouldn't be allowed in there unless Jeff brought a mandolin. Right? Because real gospel music's got a mandolin. He knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. Listen, over here's got a banjo. If you ain't got a banjo, it ain't gospel music. I've heard people say that. Brother, good gospel music's got a guitar in it. But real good gospel music is piano only, man. That's it. That's it. No piano and them drums. Oh, no, them drums got a guy. You don't want no drums. Right? Why? Us interpreting what it means to be holy. Us interpreting what it means to worship. Us interpreting. So we got no authority. So we get our group who just wants the no drums over here. And we get our group who likes drums over here. And we get our group of the mandolin over here. We get our group of the guitar over here. Right? We get our group who don't even have no music over here. And they go over here. And then we all divided. And then we go out, and then I'm going to be preaching against. Oh, well, God said no drums in the church. God said, I really like that guitar, but I don't like that kind of guitar. Really, a good true church has got a Martin guitar and not a Yamaha. A Yamaha's foreign-made guitar, so we shouldn't have a Yamaha. So we should have good gospel music comes to the Martin. Guys, I'm going to tell you what, you don't think all this stuff goes on? It goes on. It goes on. All because we're interpreting our own, not submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God. I mean, how is it when you're supposed to be the big preacher and when you have to confess, guys, I have no idea. Because I'm going to tell you what, who was the greatest one of all in the scriptures? We would call him the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was blind, guys, had to be led about by the hand. Brothers and sisters, it is a beautiful thing to be led about by the hand, because that hand is none other than Jesus Christ. And when you can come to the point when you know you're blind, he says, you are blind, but you think you see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. I'm just giving you my own words. But if you would come to me, I would give you sight. That's when you've got to be like blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. I don't know nothing. I got nothing. I'm a poor wretch and I got nothing. And what did Jesus? They said, oh, y'all got to shut up, shut up. No, no, this ain't how we play church. This ain't how we do it. Come on, guys, this is exactly how we do it. This is the beginning point, the foundation point that we must come to. Till I could come to you and say, you know what, guys? I don't have anything to say except what the Lord gives me to say. Nothing else. Nothing else. Let me give you my last page. Let me just say it this way. Basically, down deep in every one of us, we do not want God to have absolute authority in our lives. I'm telling you the truth, guys. Yes. We don't. Because there's some things we like to do. Things we like to say. Things we like to eat. Things we like to gossip about or do whatever. So we want to keep God over here. We want him on Sundays and on Wednesdays. And if I need you, other than that, homie, I got it. I got it. And yet we walk around with no authority. And we wonder why our people are dying of cancer. I just got a confession from my heart. There should not be any sick among you. Right. I believe that with all my heart, guys. I believe that with all of my heart. There shouldn't be any sick among you. But it's because we don't walk under authority is why we are still going to funerals and still doing the things that we do. I'm going to tell you what, not a one of these disciples died of old age. They had to be killed. Like I said, when one comes in his own name, we'll receive him. Why? Because it only requires a little bit of us. When Pastor Jim comes, that requires an hour and a half on Sunday. Other than that, heck with it. Right? Don't require very much. Apostle so-and-so comes, we can go out there and give him an hour and a half, 2 hours, and we're done with it. He gives us a few little tidbits to do. We don't have any trouble with that. I mean, guys, I'm just asking, how many apostles have you went and seen? Apostle so-and-so, bishop so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, evangelist so-and-so are going to be over here, right? Oh, yeah, we go see them. How many people did you go see? Christ will be here tomorrow at 7. You guys probably think, who is this arrogant punk? That's exactly what they did to Jesus when he walked on the scene and said, I'm one with the Father. They said, who is this? I know this guy. That's Joseph's son. Says, you're not even 50 years old. How can you even read? We have Abraham to our father. And Jesus says, let me tell you something, homie. Before Abraham was, I am. Oh, they sought to kill him. They will seek to kill you. They will seek to kill you, guys. Make no mistake about it. They will seek to kill you. But when we begin to preach a gospel from that standpoint, we have a problem. Why? Because it demands absoluteness in our lives. Let me tell you something, guys. There comes a time in a relationship. Now, I don't know. I use Tim and Denise. I don't know their history, but I'm just going to ad-lib this a little bit. Here's Tim and Denise dating. Well, Denise, you know, she's 17. She's a good-looking woman. She wasn't just dating Tim. She had 2 or 3 others on the hook over here, right? You know, Tim didn't show up. Hey, you know, I ain't going to be home. But there comes a time when there's a demand made of absoluteness. When Tim don't play no more, when he says, I'm in and I'm in alone, right? There comes that time when we must say, I ain't playing no more. No more, you see, and it's about coming into a relationship wholeheartedly, guys. Not saying it's Christ plus this and this and this and this, when it's Christ and Him alone. When He speaks, it doesn't matter if the football game is on, if you got this going on, if you got this going on, that is your husband speaking. And this woman that is completely submitted to her husband. If she's not, you know what she's called in the scriptures? A whore and an adulteress. I just throw these things out there, guys. I'll just tell you the truth. Oh, I got some more notes on the back here. Thank God, okay. Listen, when you understand that you are one, that we are one, you can never be less than that. You can never be less than that. So how does this understanding come? It comes in the revealing of the Son. Because outside of Him, we're not one with each other. So it's not us trying to find our oneness anywhere other than Him. That's how we are one. We are one in Him. I cannot be one with Him and not be one with you. If I'm one with Him, I am one with you. So it's not my foot anymore. It's our foot. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not my body anymore. It is our body. It's His body. He says when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to teach you that I'm in the Father, the Father's in me, and I'm in you. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will teach you this. Why? Why is He going to teach you this? For the purpose of manifesting that authority in the earth. For the purpose of the kingdom coming, or the kingdom manifesting in the earth. I'm just going to close right there, and I'm going to say this. For what purpose? He told Peter this. He said, guys, that what you see is loosed in heaven, you can declare loose in the earth. What you see bound in the heaven, you can declare bound in the earth. Only after the revelation of my Son, which is given of God. I'm telling you what, guys, right now we don't speak with any authority, but you have to see what's loosed. And then the authority comes in declaring what's loose. Jesus came to heal the sick and to raise the dead and to make the blind see and to preach the gospel to the poor and heal up the brokenhearted. And we are His body. We should be doing the same thing, but we are not. The church is separated, it's divided, it's powerless, walking around withering away. But He is calling a people who are submitted to Him, who say, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling."